You send signal, you listen for an echo. At the first splinters, you run to tell Geppetto. And in the worst winters, the whole thing feels untenable. Crow took me by the shoulder and he told me, honey, don't let go.
Nobody feels how you all just feel before.
To the end.
Chapter 11. You wake up, roll over, and there is some more bed to roll over onto. Nary a hard floor rising to smack your face after a tiny half wriggle. A long, gorgeous stretch of vaguely starchy, cool, empty sheets stretch under your hand, your heels. You make like a starfish, just because you can. You are a very smug starfish. You don't even care you're a lopsided one. Also, your brain is half awake and stupid from going to bed at 3 a.m., but fuck that. You spend another 10 minutes staring at the ceiling, a dopey and uncool smile spreading on your face without your permission, and who cares? Nobody will see! Your stomach is starting to whimper about being empty, though. And your bladder is throwing a bitch fit about being too full. With a sigh, you get up, wobble to the cramped sink shower toilet Rubik's Cube closet that pretends to be a bathroom. Can't turn around without smacking your elbow on shit. Feels just like home. And here Dad Bert tried to talk you into rooming in the boys' dormitory because there was a blinged up bathtub there. Yeah. You totally want to pay for a tub with a room shared with John, Dave, Carquette, and Gamzee for the next 3 weeks. Especially one where you'd have to fight over who gets not to sleep on a cot. What a golden chance it is you allowed to slip through your fingers. Wow, you'll never get over it. Your room is a tiny thing stuck in the crew quarter. There's barely enough space to shuffle around the double bed. The roof is low and the walls sloppily painted. And you get linoleum instead of carpet. A couple of particle board closets add their IKEA chic to the decor. You fucking love it. You especially love the genuine porthole with bona fide seawater splashing all over it. Really brings it all together. Huh. The ship's moving. You're not feeling it much here, so low to the water in the middle of the ship. But the regular spray splattering on your porthole doesn't lie. This ship can't be tamed. Damn, you kind of wanted to watch the land recede. Nothing but water is bound to get boring after the first 2 weeks of limitless horizons. You don't even know if that one is irony or not. A quick shower, and then you throw baggy shorts and a shirt on, put on your eye shades, slip your feet in the most garish flip-flops you own. They're pastel pink and acid green, with touches of your orange. You feel like it today. Hell, even the shirt is orange, though the shade is off, closer to bro's tangerine text than yours. Fuck the universe. Your mood is great today, and you're gonna rock the orangeness. Okay, there's a shit ton of narrow stairs to climb up on the way to food, and it's vaguely awkward to keep your balance. But you're only halfway up the second flight when the smell of ocean and toast wanders down. And after that, somehow it goes faster. One of the Crockerbert parental units peeks out of the kitchen when you emerge from the service stairs. Smiles. Ah, bird. Finally awake? Looks like. You so don't want to be rude to someone wearing an apron when there's such breakfasty smells in the air. So you shove down as much of the snark as you can. What time is it? Almost 11. I take it you slept well? Lucky boy. You don't even enjoy the avuncular hilarity of being called Lucky Boy, because he just took a chocolate croissant thing out of the oven and put it on a plate and handed it to you. You don't even know which twin he is, but you promise yourself from now on, he'll be your favorite. Give it a minute to cool down, he advises, and pulls a bottle of apple juice out of the fridge. Or do you want orange juice? Ugh, orange. Apple's cool. You hurry to say. Dude then proceeds to pour you a glass, and then goes out through the other door to place it on the big dinner table. There are crumbs all over the place, so likely everyone else already breakfasted on it. "Please sit down," he says, and before you can object, he gives you a little eye-wrinkling smile. "You Stridermen sadden me with your regrettable habit of eating standing at the counter." Either this is Dadbert, or Crockpop witnessed something unfortunate this morning with your three bros. Croissant, apple juice. Yeah, the deducing can wait. You say thanks, like a totally well-raised kid who doesn't want to see the source of mana dry up, and sit. He was right. You burn your mouth on the first chomp. "Totally worth it." "Fried eggs? Bacon? Holy shit, marry me." Your face heats up a little, and you expect to be corrected on language, but the man just gives a single, rough chuckle. "Flattered as I am, your brother might object." "True. If you steal the dude your bro is making eyes at, he might turn your little room into a smuppet storage closet in the night." You shudder. "Oh, wait. He probably meant it in the sense that he's old enough to be your dad and a responsible guardian would totally object. Wow, you are lucky you were too busy drinking and didn't actually answer that." You think if you scored with some old dude or lady, the only thing bro would care about would be whether they're a good lay. Okay, yeah, not true. The first thing he'd care about would be whether you were the one who came onto them first and no disgusting grooming or pressuring happened. But the second thing he'd ask would totally be if they were worth the ride. How to turn you off cougars forever in one conversation. Bro Strider edition. Okay, time for a subtle and elegant change of topic. Where's everyone else? Phil is teaching Jade the finer points of handling a ship this size. Two of your brothers are down in the machine room, and I'm not entirely sure where the rest are. Probably busy with their computers. Oh, hey! This is the Egbert one after all. You have your mouth full, and ain't no way you're not gonna keep it full for as long as this croissant thing lasts. So you go with making an noise? Right. You weren't there for the announcement. Once we're out of territorial waters, the roaming charges for the Wi-Fi will be rather on the side of astronomical, so we'll be cutting access down to emergency contact and 2 hours in the evening. You cough. Swallow wrong. Hit your chest with a closed fist. What? The evening access will be limited to 4 people maximum at one time. I'm sure you young people will get used to the lack of internet access so fast. In a week, you won't even want to take your turn when it... Bird? Sorry, here's the plate. I'll wash it later. Got shit to download. Bye! There is no way in hell you are going to get stuck on a boat for a month without a shit ton of computer games and all the movies you can torrent before this evening. 10 minutes later, when you emerge with your laptop, like being on deck will give you better access to this ship's 3G setup or something, you realize the reason Egbert brought it up at that point in the conversation was that all the other human players are using it to download their own shit. No wonder your download rate is so atrocious. Thank fuck for BitTorrent. You step over John, sprawled on the floor, half in the shade, plop your butt on a padded deck chair between Rose's feet, and start hunting around the illegalest of all torrenting sites. TMS testified. TT wants to send the file movies.txt. TT, list of movies already being downloaded. Don't double up on shit. Add your own and pass it on. TG. Okay, you know what? That's not a bad idea. TT. Course not. It's mine. TG. TG. You bragging braggart. TG. Don't think anyone will want to list their free amateur schoolgirl dominatrix clips for perusal, though. I mean, dude, can you see walking up to half these peeps and asking to trade some ebon vixens for whip-wielding dick girls? TG. But anyone think of dedicating a machine to our own porn hub yet? TG. I bet you didn't think of that, huh? TT. Roxy did, as a matter of fact. TT. Alas, Jane vetoed her. TT. The netbook with the pink cat on it suffered a tragic hardware failure, and you might find it abandoned in a lot of strange places. The password YayPrawns will naturally be totally useless. TG, naturally. TT, zero, not uppercase O. TG, how could it ever be otherwise, man? What else do you do with a fried machine like that, apart from plugging in and trying to see if up slash downloading nice big splurts of data helps at all? TG, BTW, Roxy is now my favorite. TT, my heart is in splinters. TG, hey, hey, bro, psst, look up. When he does, you purse your lips at him in your best schoolteacherly, not funny young man face. You don't even know if you'll make use of the Pornhub. You talk a good game, but wow, yeah, Roxy has you beat in actual shamelessness. Because thinking about it, any clip on it having a chance of belonging to one of your siblings' prized knob waxing collection, maybe a bit too incesty. About that. Truncated Grip, TG, started pestering Tentacle Therapist, TT. TG, hey Rose, I need you to swear none of the BDSM corset porn will be yours. TG, bald-faced perjury preferred. TT, of course, dear brother, as I would never collect anything like that in the first place. TT, the needleplay and sounding videos will, of course, not be mine either, so that you can feel free to peruse them in incest-free safety. TG, yay, I'll totes jump on the sounding stuff like a vegetarian on the single plate of falafel at a meat lover barbecue. TG, here comes the non-rose contaminated safety. Oh Lord, thank you for this feast of dongs behaving against nature. TG, how wrong was I thinking dicks go in things? Things don't go in dicks. TG, how wrong, my friend. TT, a tragic yet understandable mistake. I am glad to have contributed, however indirectly and non-incestuously, to your enlightenment. After that, your next impulse is to ask what she will contribute to the Pornhub then. Which, yeah. No! TG, who's in the know about the naughty kitty, BTW? I mean, apart from Jane, obvs. TT, so far, all of us Striders and Lalans, connoisseurs of fine pornography as we are. TT, I mean, of course the younger generation. It goes without saying that bro and my mother are sir and madam not invited to this virtual wife-swapping extravaganza. TG, I am making this face IRL. Disgusted face. TT, no you aren't, you vile little liar. TG, you didn't have to kick me. TT, au contraire, my dear. Au contraire. TG, I'll sick my gossip chump on you. TT, are you sure you wish to attempt this? Because I feel fairly confident in predicting that she will side with the one who has already put out. Ugh, poker face, poker face. TG, damn, need to set up a major nail polish and bitching session pronto then. TT, what a grand idea. I'll tell Kanaya she can dig out her secondary wardrobe. TG, I'm sure I'll look darling. TT, she would allow nothing less. TT, but anyway, regarding the pink netbook and the matter of its knowledge, I planned on telling Jade, of course. TG, of course. She'd gut us otherwise. TG, looks so sweet and innocent, but she's innocent like a wild beast, and let me tell you, those are a randy lot. God damn it, why did you say that? Jade's libido is not your problem anymore. It doesn't even sting much, though. Yeah, okay, you could have had first-hand knowledge of that, instead of whispered confessions and hints and speaking glances that went nowhere, if you were less of a whiny loser. You were a total whiny loser. That ship sailed, and then was promptly torpedoed in the bay. The end. Possibly it helps that you've touched other butts since then. Well, one other butt. But boy, did you touch it. Yeah, must be it. You vaguely wonder where Carcat is. TT, And out of all the trolls, I cannot conceive of one of them betraying us to the authorities, such as they are. But I am not yet sure how very interested most of them will be. TT. All right, no. Kanaya is at least nominally interested in human anatomy. So is Terezi, now that I think of it. TG. Yeah, sounds like that is a thing they are, and thanks for rubbing it in. TG. Wonder if they have any troll porn to share. TG. Wow, okay, I think I just gazed into the abyss and the abyss winked back saucily. She chuckles quietly, not looking up from her screen. TT. For that matter, the only troll who has expressed total disinterest in humans is Gamzee. And as it happens, he is also the one most likely to betray this little secret out of sheer carelessness. You are not sure Gamzee is ever entirely careless when he fucks people over. At least, you can't help but feel it's a mildly malicious sort of carelessness. Like hell if he's gonna lose you your Pornhub. TG. Yeah, okay. Makara vetoed. It's a majority motion passed. TT. I suppose it falls on you to induct Karkat in, then. She can't know. She can't know! It's Rose. You're sure she does. You're sure she read your mind right when you were thinking butt-touching thoughts. Somehow. Ugh! Did Jade spill? Terezi? Hell, maybe Kanaya! Ah! Too many broads in the know! And you haven't even gotten to bust a nut with the guy! TG. TG. Why me exactly? TG. The guy is guaranteed to explode in splutters and flail, and that's not going to attract tons of parental attention. Nope.
Is his machine even compatible?
Okay. Brain, what the fuck? You just slammed yourself with two comebacks.
Wow.
Well, then we'll have to watch his porn on mine. Woot! Well, then we'll just need to test that compatibility thing seriously, then. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
They're not even good comebacks.
TT.
Bird?
TG. Oh my god, I just found the Lion King in Chinese. That shit is bananas. TG. Shh, can't talk. Hunting, working cedars.
That was subtle.
Wow. You stubbornly keep your eyes on your laptop. You can feel her smiling anyway. Lunchtime happens at something like 2:30. To the great despair of the Fedora twins. It was hard to corral everyone, and they wanted it to be a group occasion. You wedge your way between Jade and Jane at the table, and scandalize poor Jane by grabbing the fork in your teeth so your gorgeous, gorgeous steak won't escape as you saw it into edible chunks. Good knife, best friend. It's been so goddamn long since you had real meat. Hamburger doesn't count. You're not letting a little awkward staring stop you now.
You think she wants to offer to cut your meat for you, but she doesn't know if that'd be offensive or what.
Frankly, you're not even sure. Right now, you wouldn't get offended. Only if someone takes meat from your plate for any reason, they better be prepared to lose their fingers in exchange. It's a noisy mess, and everyone talks over everyone else. People laugh from every corner, often for no reason. It's vaguely overwhelming, this chaos. But you really like it, too. This is your family. The only missing members are Iridia and Sulix and Jake, stuck waiting like chumps on Hellmurder Island. But you don't even know them all that well, so you don't personally miss them much. Iridia sounds pretty hilarious, though. Dave and Bro are liberally streaked with engine grease, and Bro at least looks happy as a pig in shit about it. From the way he teases Crocker when Crocker comments about the fingerprints he leaves on the tablecloth. Dirk, you're not sure. You wonder why he didn't go down to help Bro, since engines and stuff are more his thing than Dave's. It's not like he can't deal with a couple hours in close quarters with older him, after all. Right? Roxy and Terezi are having a very involved conversation about something mysterious. Bonding is happening under your very eyes. This is mildly terrifying. Everyone else seems happy enough. Ding, ding, ding. Your attention, please. Ah, Dadbert is... No, wait, that's the Crocker one. Dadbert is sitting by Gamzee. They're smiling at each other?
Gamzee looks almost nice? What is this fuckery? Anyway, you're not sure if Jane's dad planned to sound so much like a professional announcer, but he does the tone so smoothly, John laughs anyway. The man flicks him a tiny smile. As you may have all figured out, the fact that we had to do away with a crew in order to hide some of our members means... Aw, no! John protests. Boo to chores! Wow, chores. What are those? You usually wash your own Well, when you were both still a single Dave, you washed your own shit because you didn't want it tangled up with bros' thongs and even more unmentionable unmentionables. You ate out of cartons, and dusting and stuff happened mostly when it got too annoying. You never had a set daily task. This is a novelty. Possibly not one you'll enjoy, but you think you can deal. So suburban, though. Heh. Yes, chores. Crocker purses his mouth forbiddingly. I am deeply sorry, young man. There will be chores. Aww. This ship is usually operated by a professional crew comprised of 7 people. As none of us are professionals, I think we can afford to put more people onto a single task. For now, Jade and I will be sharing the wheel. It shouldn't take too long to finish training her to pilot bigger ships than she is used to. Should anyone else want to learn? Trezzy's hand flies into the air. Dude, Dave says, you're blind. I know most of the time it's like a magical blind, not real-world blind, but ain't like you're gonna be able to lick the horizon. She makes a face. Well, obviously I should only pilot on deeper waters at first. I still think it would be extremely interesting. The adults exchange a look. Lalonde shrugs. I don't see why not. She can read a screen. She can read instruments. Plus, most of the piloting is really sitting in the cockpit and glancing at stuff regularly to make sure we stay on course. All right, then. You can come up with Jade this afternoon. Terezi sits back down, grinning like a hyena, and spears her steak with great prejudice. We also need engineers to make sure the motors... Yes, Strider, you may be chief engineer. Sweet, Bro says, entirely seriously. Fuck him, Mrs. Lalonde retorts. That's discrimination. I'm just as qualified as you are, buddy. You can be chief when I'm not chief. Rox, Dirk. Roxy is quick to agree. Dirk, less so, but eventually he agrees that it's a logical repartition of the task. Jade demands to be taken on as auxiliary engineer. You're not sure when she's gonna sleep. Kitchen crew, headed by Paul, if you don't mind. Naturally not. I will, of course, join you as time permits. It's kind of creepy to see them exchanging urbane little robo-sentences with their identical faces and clothes. Even sitting down, Paul Egbert manages to have the same posture as Phil Crocker, the same set to his shoulders. You wonder if you and Dave are that creepy. Surely that's not possible. Jane, John, you're requisitioned. John groans and flops across the table predictably. You peg him in the head with a bit of bread. Gamzee, do you feel up to participating? Sure thing, man. I'll be all manners of happy to get my food helping on. Lord make it so he's never without supervision, you hear Karkat mutter. So do 3/4 of the table. He doesn't mutter very quietly. If anyone knows how to handle simple foods, they are welcome to assist, and the rest of you will have to be the cleaning and dishwashing crew. We will count up work hours later in the week and possibly redistribute some tasks, but for the moment, this is how it will go. Here is a chart. Write your name next to your chores, and later each of you can tick off your completed tasks. Wow, organized. You're torn between admiration and a need to groan and hide somewhere. Dude has a chart. Dude has several charts. You sign yourself up for laundry, blindly. In between dishwashing, table setting, and deck swabbing, you figure collecting bags of dirty clothes and shoving them in machines is pretty much the one thing you can do well, and not too slowly one-handed. Someone else will have to handle the folding. Carcat and Roxy have volunteered to clean the table. You redeem your whole day so far when he hip-checks your shoulder, bending over to reach your glass, and you accidentally on purpose trail your fingers against a bare gray knee under the table. He doesn't drop anything. For a second, his eyes narrow faintly, though, like he's trying to tell you he'd have shoved your face in the broken piece if you'd made him do that. Why's your shit all over the place, asshole? Oh, hey, a slice of waist under that gaping shirt. When you lean forward, you briefly manage to brush your fingertips against his stomach, hidden by the hang of his shirt and your own body. His muscles twitch. I don't know. It was afraid of my swag, maybe. Scattered in terror. Can't be afraid of something that doesn't exist. He hip-checks you again on the way out. You figure you're forgiven. We are a bunch of nerds. The observation is totally warranted. You warrant it, for one. There's the jacuzzi, right? And the towels, and the deck chairs, and the little tables with fizzy drinks on them with paper umbrellas, and the bunch of dickwads in bathing apparel. There's also a shadowed corner littered with, like, 7 laptops and 3 PDAs, so the assholes reading or sunbathing or flailing around in the tub can check on their downloads and rebalance the load if needed at the drop of a hat. You are a bunch of total, entire, consummate nerds. Carcat, stretched out on a deck chair with long, bare legs, emerging from underneath his crab top, is a rather nice-looking one. Why is he wearing a shirt, though? He's in the shade. God damn, but you want some eye candy for your money, okay? You go to make space for your laptop amongst its technological brethren. Dirk is sitting there, back against the wall, monitoring them. While you're at it, you unplug one of the other laptops with a full battery charge and plug yours in. You figure everyone can trade off. That or your own baby will be savagely unplugged when the owner finds out the crime you have committed, but by then it should have more battery. John is sprawled out in the sun already, looking half asleep, and Kanaya and Rose are sitting together in the tub. But you don't want to risk Rose's wrath by relocating her book and kidnapping her deck chair. The air is almost dry up here. It smells like salt and polished wood. You've never sunbathed before, but you figure it can't hurt to try it once. Dunno if you want to do it before or after you take a dip in the tub, though. Hopefully the water isn't set to hot.
Hep, 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 where are you going?
Oh no, what does bro want now? You turn around warily. For a second, you hope he's talking to Dave, who was following him up the stairs and veered toward the tub, but he turns to look at you, and you groan a bit inside.
Sunlight equals UV cream, bud.
But that's for douches. Unburned douches, Mrs. Lalonde counters. Both of you, heal. Rose? I had Kanaya help, Mom,
the traitor replies languidly from the pool. Bro unscrews the top of his bottle, looking blank-facedly evil. You and Dave exchange a quick, alarmed look, and then you throw him mercilessly to the crocodiles.
Hey, Mom, mind doing me?
Sure thing, Birdie.
Birdie? You purse your lips at her meaningfully. But it's still her or bro. Stashing your pride, you obligingly turn and follow her to slather your back in cold cream. She attacks your ribs, rubbing cream in briskly.
Ugh, it tickles!
You try not to react. You try very hard not to react.
How grown up you're getting, she exclaims, pinching your sides.
You think maybe you should have let bro have a go at it after all.
Bro, don't you think our children are becoming beautiful butterflies after all?
I will never regret laying metaphorical eggs with you one day of my life, he replies.
Dave yips. You wish you could see what bro just did to him.
Okay, do your own face. Yes, even under the shades. These suntanned-in shades look ain't ironic. It's just stupid.
Aw, bro. Asking me to take my shades off in public? How shameless. I can't.
There, there, Sugar Plum. Give me your towel and I'll make a tent to hide your sinful good looks. None shall be led into temptation by those nubile eyes.
You know, Carcat muses over the screen of his crab top, I used to wonder why Dave's such a weirdo. And then I met you.
He's a little tense, you note, when he's saying that. His usual loudly caustic tone of voice is so restrained it comes out almost mild, and he's watching Bro from the corner of his eye. Bro just nods.
The world was not ready for us.
Carcat's legs relax, his toes uncurl.
Spoiler, it's never going to be.
Wow, did Bro just smile? Okay, it was barely there at all, but it was totally a smile. Not a smirk or a weird shadow or anything.
That's okay. Uniqueness is better. Gotta keep the market value up. You guys get skin cancer, by the way?
Carcat blinks, thrown.
Trolls. Skin cancer. From sun rays?
From the sun? Carcat sputters, and then cringes a little.
I don't know. Kanaya?
Sadly, I have no idea, Kanaya says, turning in her seat to look at everyone straight on. Back home, most trolls were more concerned with the possibility of live charbroiling. As a jade blood, I've always been immune, but I don't know what would happen to any other color.
Rami arches an eyebrow.
Wait, charbroiling? Yes. Alternia's sun was, well, I believe it was more a matter of the planet's ozone layer. For most people, it was a very bad idea to be out by day. The moons provided plenty of light, though.
Trolls are habitually nocturnal, Rose adds. It doesn't seem to be an issue with human-required levels of sunlight, simply that theirs was too potent.
Rami makes a little displeased noise, eyebrows scrunching up. Okay, that's officially a risk we are not taking. Line up for sunscreen. Carcat looks horrified. Ugh, why is everything a drama with this guy? You guess you can help deflect, though. Brownie points, here you come.
Her, her, her. What about allergies? You point out.
Mrs. Lalonde shrugs and goes to Carcat, makes him hold out his hand, wrist up, puts a dollop of product on it.
If in 10 minutes there's no reaction, then it should be safe.
Ish.
Kanaya, dear, your hand, please.
You did what you could. You get Mrs. Lalonde to put a generous dollop on your fingers and finish greasing up your face and legs while they wait. Meanwhile, Terezi and Jade appear, chattering about the control tower or what the fuck ever. Roxy on their heels.
Sunscreen, Mrs. Lalonde proclaims and lobs the bottle at Jade.
Oh no, I'm super tan. It's fine. Thank you.
Nuh-uh. Super tan people can get skin cancer too. Maybe you need one a bit less powerful, but seriously, put it on anyway.
Aw, fine, fine.
Jade goes to plug her laptop and computer shoes with the rest.
You try not to worry that the computers will sprawl out of the zone of shadows if it keeps up.
What you doing?
You ask Carcat, going to crouch by his side to peer at his screen. He glares a little and lifts a hand to cover the screen half-heartedly, but gives up hiding it in a second.
Ever heard of privacy? And I'm messaging Solix. What else am I supposed to do?
Dunno. Look for kitten videos?
The look he levels on you is about 75% disbelief, 25% offense.
Yes, I am totally wasting my afternoon trying to decipher the zoophilic attraction most of your species shows for pale porn starring meow beast grubs. Don't tell me you never noticed our computers don't go on your human internet. The most we can do with them is use Trollian.
He pats the keyboard, almost the way Jade pats Beck's side. Really rough-looking, but somewhat affectionate, too.
This is effectively a very heavy messenger feather beast.
You blink.
Seriously? Wow, shit.
No, wait. You said something about needing to use John's computer for naughty stuff before, right?
He flinches, whispers in a hiss. The point was that I didn't use John's computer, and not that I would have wanted to either way. And anyway, we can still use whatever's on our machines. We just don't. There's no troll internet to connect to, is all.
Huh. fucking game fuckery. Wow, that was eloquent. I am moved to tears by your word mastery.
You give a slow blink. He can't see anyway. And deadpan. Fuck the fuck out of you, fuckingly.
His lips twitch. It's totally because you were funny, and not at all because he's thinking macking thoughts, like perhaps how to make you stop spouting inanities with his mouth. Which, honestly, you would totally be in favor of. You spend a little while looking at his conversation with Solix. It's nothing super interesting or private. Mostly, they're trying to make each other jealous of the sweet crib they have at the moment. Unsurprisingly, Solix appears to be winning. Eye candy doesn't trump personal space and peace and quiet. You totally waggle your eyebrows at Solix's eye candy crack. Karkat elbows you in the temple. Somewhat gently, at least.
10 minutes! Show me your hand, Karkat!
He holds it out cautiously. Lalonde pretends not to notice.
No itches, tingles, redness, swelling, sudden pimples, dry and flaking skin?
No? Karkat gives his hand a dubious look. Shit, now I'm doubting it. No, it's fine.
Awesome! Time to get you greased up.
You make a face. Thanks for the mental picture, Mom. Karkat hands you his crab top as he works on extracting himself from the deck chair, and you end up having to sit on the deck cross-legged to allow the monstrosity to land flat on your lap and not slide at an unfortunate angle to the floor. Before you, Kanaya is looking very uncertain as Bro advances on her.
Can I help? Rose says pointedly, staring him down as she pulls herself out of the jacuzzi, dripping everywhere.
Sure thing, honey bunch. He hands her another bottle of sunscreen. You can do John's.
Wow. Clash of the Titans. Even Rami pauses to look at them. Why? Are you indicating that you would prefer to anoint a nubile, unrelated guest?
Darling, I'm about as interested in her tits as a horse in a nice steak, which can't be said of you. Rose puts on a scandalized and reproving look, as if she thinks she has any chance at all to make Bro feel an ounce of shame. Like, ever.
Father, are you insinuating that I would attempt anything untoward? We're in public.
Kanaya has sunk into the pool until the water comes up to her mouth, shoulders hunched, and her face has a bit of the look of a mossy rock. You should probably be a good gossip chump and help.
Nah, this is way too hilarious.
Bro nods thoughtfully. You're right. We're in public. Wouldn't want to make Pyrope double blind.
But what if my vision was miraculously cured instead? Would you truly forbid the attempt?
Bro purses his lips at her. Terezi grins back, unrepentant. I'm an uncaring, ice-hearted monster, so yup. Get Jade to do you, or I will. Roxy, you're on Kanaya. Rose, you get Karkat. Have fun.
Karkat makes a face like he's not sure whether to be relieved or not. But he does pull his shirt off over his head, so you make sure to be relieved for him.
It's pretty much the same thing that happened yesterday when they were trying to fit everyone into 3 dorms. It didn't matter that they'd be sleeping in single beds and sharing the room with a 3rd girl.
Rose was absolutely not allowed to share a room with Kanaya. Nope, we love you, went the speech, and this is why we cock block. So the poor gal is exiled to Jane and Roxy's room, who she barely knows. And meanwhile, Rose gets to have fun with Jade and Terezi. You're counting the hours before one of them switches and canoodling ensues.
Karkat and Gamzee were allowed to sleep in the same room because they don't frick, which makes no sense to any of the trolls. But the beds in that dorm are narrow enough that you bet they won't be able to share anyway. Which, right now, Karkat probably doesn't mind. Meanwhile, 2 levels down from adult supervision, you've got a nice private double to yourself. You wonder how safe it'd be to encourage traffic in it. Man, the crab top is pretty nice for lap obscuring purposes.
T.A. Come on, KK. Stop sulking. You'd think you'd be used to me owning you by now.
T.A. KK.
T.A. K.K. T.A. Stop being a little bitch already and answer your goddamn messages. T.A. Paging Carcat Vantith. Found one sense of humor and the dried out dregs of actual coolness. T.A. Come the fuck on already, you little shit sucker.
C.G. No can do, he's getting groped by Rose ATM.
C.G.
Fuck yes, you oil that bitch up, Lalonde. Fondle his dorsals harder.
T.A. Okay, which Strider are you?
C.G. The maimed one.
C.G.
Sorry to fail you so close to the completion of a rather awesome clone-cest fantasy, BTW, but if I pose with my left side to you, you won't be able to tell.
T.A. Your tender attention to my needs warms me right up. Wow, all I ever wanted, a douchebag sandwich.
C.G. Come on, at least we are hot douchebags.
T.A.
I guess there's that.
T.A.
What was that about K.K.?
R.F. and oily gropes, B.T.W.?
Like, is it your thing today? Here, have a raunchy sexual fantasy about people you never wanted to imagine like that ever.
C.G. You vile lying liar. As if you don't want to see Rose pinning Carcat down on the ground so he can't escape. As she slathers cream on his naked back and massages it in, making him all slippery and glistening.
T.A. If I did, I maintain it would be solely for the hilariousity factor.
C.G. Of course. I mean, why else?
T.A.
Of course.
C.G. It's softcore city in this joint. It's seriously unreal, half-naked and slick bodies everywhere you turn.
C.G. It's to the point I'm almost not minding that, like, half of them are related to me. Wowza.
T.A.
Okay, you can stop trying to win K.K.'s argument for him now. Not that you're not doing a better job than he was, but it's taking all the fun out of it.
C.G. Haha, okay.
T.A.
So?
T.A.
Rose pinning K.K. down, you say?
C.G. It was all a vile fucking lie. At no point did I touch the ground with anything but my feet.
T.A.
Oh my god, she totally bent you over, didn't she?
Bird? Carcat asks, fake pleasantly, kneeling on his chair with the crab top half dragged up and off yours.
The next fucking time you answer my conversations, try to remember that I have a whole ocean in arm's reach for ease of body disposal.
He glowers at you and finishes pulling up his heavy monstrosity and frees a foot so he can shove you away with it. You shrug, lips pinched so you won't smile, and pull yourself up.
You've overstayed your welcome. Alas and woe. How will you survive?
Oh well, jacuzzi time.
The water is super nice. Cool like a dream. Maybe you'll nap in here.
Okay, you'll nap in there once Jade stops trying to drown John in it. But the intent is here.
Okay, no, it's not possible to safely close a single eye around the Derp twins. You're pleasantly waterlogged, so you go get a towel and find a corner of the deck to sprawl on.
Sunlight.
Sunscreen or not, you're going to burn so bad.
Worth it.
Carcinogeneticist, CG. Trolled Truncated Grip, TG.
CG. Hey, bird.
TG. Dude, I'm like 2 meters away, you dork.
TG.
So, am I, like, forgiven now, or is it official stop bird from snoozing day?
CG. I never forgive anyone anything. I thought you knew. My grudges burn as brightly and as long as any star.
TG. Majestic.
CG. But of fucking course.
CG.
I just wanted to ask you if...
TG.
Huh?
TG. Spit it out, dude. I'm not telepathic yet. I know I'm awesome in all other regards, but life had to nerf me somewhat.
CG. Okay, I'll just say it.
CG.
On the topic of your bathing suit apparatus being sort of see-through in the back, which I have no choice but to look at, seeing where you put your towel. That was subtle. Was that planned on or... CG. I see it wasn't. CG. Heh. CG. Nice diving for cover there. TG. Shut up, that was totally smooth. I just faked it like I wasn't because the swag quotient would have scared you off otherwise. CG. Just a victim of your mortal pallor decimating the black threads of this struggling piece of cloth with its sheer luminescence, then? TG. No, that's just my dong. TG. Containing that beast does a number on just about any kind of fiber, really. The strain just redistributed equally to my perfect ass cheeks is all. CG. Huh. It's also see-through in the front. CG. CG. I think perhaps I should have seen it coming. TG. CG. Well, I did see it coming. Ocularly. TG. For fuck's sake, Carcat. TG. I will throw myself overboard, see if I won't. CG. Don't. You know I'll drown going after you. TG. That was almost sweet. CG. And then Gamzee will fish you out. The lone survivor. TG. TG. Yeah, okay, I'm staying on the boat. CG. Good. TG. Dude, eyes back on the pester chum window. TG. You naughty objectifier of poor sweet innocent girls everywhere. CG. What can I say? You don't do half bad as deck decoration. CG. Okay, no, that pose makes you look like the survivor of a spine operation gone wrong. At dinner this evening, you have to perch on the edge of your seat so your burning shoulders don't touch the back. That'd be kind of really fucking unpleasant. Also, next time you're not going to forget to put sunscreen on the tips of your ears. It's still the best day you've had in just about forever.